I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And joining us today, a young band, as I said, from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. They are called Dead Horses. Welcome, guys.
It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for coming in. Why don't you guys start with a song, and then we'll come back and meet everybody and find out a little bit more about you guys. What do you want to start with?
We're going to start with a song called Water.
Dead Horses, live from Studio A, and that particular phrase, I have a feeling, lent its name to your album that you released in November, right? Back to Life.
That's correct.
Well, who wants to introduce the band? Sarah, do you want to do the honors?
Sure. On the upright bass is Dan Wolf, and also on vocals. And then we have Pete Raboin playing lead guitar today, and Tim McElry on the fiddle and some vocals, and I am Sarah Voswinkel, and I play rhythm, guitar, and sing.
Now, how long have you guys been together?
Just about 3 years, actually. Over St. Patrick's Day is when the original lineup kind of came to be. We normally also have a mandolin player, Nick Shea, who's not here with us today. And then Pete's been playing with us for a few months.
About a couple months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Pete is a newish addition to the band.
Yes.
Yeah. And how did you first get together? St. Patrick's Day, you said. What was happening that brought you all together?
Actually, our mandolin player, who's not here, and another guitarist, we started playing, and I met them. We played bass, and shortly right after that, it was St. Patrick's Day 2010, and we found Sarah right away, and they knew her from a while back, and it kind of happened by accident, but we just started playing more and learning more songs and started booking more shows, and
pretty much
been doing it pretty solid since.
Playing every opportunity that we have. I met our original mandolin player and guitar player in high school, and I played with them and a different upright bass player. And then we did a little bit of shows and stuff, and then I moved away, and everybody kind of moved away and did their own thing. And then a few years later, I ended up back in Oshkosh, and that's when those boys had just started playing with Dan, our current bass player. So the timing was kind of crazy, but it all worked out, and here we are.
Well, and this particular genre of music, kind of the acoustic bluegrass influenced music, it's really had a surge in popularity, and especially among young people. You guys are fairly young. What drew you to it, Sarah? Is this the kind of music you were playing in high school?
No,
oh,
not
okay.
at all, actually.
Okay.
Well, I really love the folk aspect of it is really what I'm more inclined to do. But bluegrass is really fun music to play, but it was pretty... The bluegrass aspect of it was almost brand new to me when I joined the band, but the more I hear it and the more I play it, the more I love it. But I'd have to say that my influence is more along the folk level. But even like 3 years ago when we started, bluegrass still wasn't, most people didn't, mainstream really know what it was. That was just before like Mumford and Sons and things like that started coming out in the more... popular music market.
Mm-hmm. Were the rest of you in other bands too? Dan, were you in?
Yeah, I've been playing in bands since high school. And it was more kind of rock, kind of punk and ska type music. And when we started this band, I started playing upright bass, and I've always liked the instrument, and I've been learning it since. So that's how I kind of got into this stuff. I know Pete, you started playing a lot of blues and jazz music.
Yeah, I started out more like on electric guitar, and I played acoustic too, but when I met these guys, I had an opportunity to showcase my acoustic abilities a little bit more, so I was excited about that.
And Tim's one of those classical kinds. He's been classically trained since the age of 3, and it's been a pleasure to play with him too. He started playing with us about a year ago exactly, and he's been a real... driving force for this band.
Ran into you guys out of the blue one day, I think it ran into you, Sarah.
I had been trying to get you to play with us all winter, remember?
Yep.
Calling you, and you would sometimes return my calls and sometimes not, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever, I guess he doesn't want to play. And then, I don't know, what happened? I don't even know, Tim, what happened that made you decide
it
to
might've,
come?
It might have been Dr. Steve Shawnee out of Oshkosh. he's this... how would you say it? Interesting man.
He's eccentric.
Eccentric
old man.
Yes, that I was playing in a quartet with some like Nutcracker type of in a museum playing the Nutcracker music for people touring through a decked out castle trying to emulate being in the Nutcracker. And he was telling me how he was playing with them from every once in a while, stepping in and playing shows. He's like, "You got to do it, Tim." I was like, "Well, they've been contacting me. Maybe I should." So. Got a hold of Sarah and came out to a show, and then it's been nonstop ever since.
Had you been playing in other bands and doing non-classical stuff?
No, not at all, actually. I was trained by ear with the Suzuki method, so it's real easy for me to just hear something and pick it up. This is basically where I just kind of just hopped in.
Mm-hmm. Are there different challenges to it, though, because it's a different genre than what you had been doing?
Definitely. Well, because it's, you're not reading music and practicing a part that's been played millions of times by millions of different violinists. It's you're creating your own sound and you're basically writing your own parts. So that's a little bit of a challenge trying to, keep fresh and get new ideas to bring to the music.
Mm-hmm. Because suddenly you're on your own as opposed to here's what you're supposed to do. Now you get to decide what you do.
It's wonderful. I don't know if I can go back.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of confining now. Well, that's fun. So somehow you all, guys all got together, and it sounds like the band's lineup has evolved just a little bit in the 3 years that you've been together. But you guys have been in this lineup for a few months now, yeah? Mm-hmm. Doing a lot of shows?
Yeah, staying very busy. So right now we're coming up to Duluth to do this. We're playing at Red Star tonight, and we're in Wausau last night. We're going to be heading to Bemidji and Nevis the next 2 days. So we like to get up in the Minnesota area every, 6 weeks or so. When were we in Duluth last?
It was January 14th, I believe, or 18th.
And tell me about Oshkosh. What's the music scene like there? How big a town is it, first of all?
It's about 60,000 people, 65 maybe.
Oh, decent sized.
I feel like there's a pretty strong music scene in Oshkosh. It's not really that big of a bluegrass scene, but in the downtown and the surrounding areas, there's a lot of really talented musicians and really good bands of all genres. And we all support each other. We all help each other out. And it's a good family type of feeling when you just with the live music scene, and people come out and support every genre. It's small, but there's a lot of talent coming out of that area.
Well, that's good to hear. So it sounds like a great place to have as a home base.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and chat some more. What do you want to play for us next?
Wide open sails, there's a feeling, and the core of myself, there's a sadness.
Dead Horses, live from Studio A. What was the name of that one?
That one was called Glitterbug.
Is that from the album?
No, this song is actually not on the album. It's we've just put it together in probably the last month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell me about the album. Who does the songwriting for the band?
Well, the songwriting process, I guess, we've had up to this point has been Nick Shea, the mandolin player, and myself, and then our old guitar player, Tyler, would, if there was writing, usually one of us would bring kind of an outline to a song, to a practice, and then we all kind of sit down and work on it together. But I would have to say that even with this song, that's much newer, you know, Pete's influence on it has been pretty great. And so kind of, yeah, an outline is brought to practice, and then we all just kind of give our input. And obviously, you know, melody lines that Tim adds or Pete adds, or rhythms or bass lines that Dan adds, or harmonies, everything kind of collaborates together, even though there usually is a basic structure to the song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the two songs we played lyrically, they were written by Sarah here. So on the album, there's six songs that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I think Nick wrote four, and Tyler, our other old guitarist, he wrote two, right? That's 12 songs. I think that adds up.
So kind of some initial inspiration from various people, and then some collaboration that kind of develops the songs. Yeah. So how long have you been writing songs, Sarah?
I don't know, as long as I can remember, probably. I remember even before I played guitar, really even just sitting down on a piano when no one was home and not knowing how to play, but just coming up with chord progressions or notes or melodies. It's just something that I've always done. I don't remember not doing it.
Was that your first instrument then, the piano?
Not just tinkering around on it because we had one, but in large part guitar was. And then I remember just writing like four chord songs. That was just a progression, and it was almost like my mind just had to work through, this is how that works, you know.
And you know, you've been writing songs as long as you can remember. Do you remember when you first start to feel like this is really good, or did you always kind of feel like, hey, this is pretty good? Or
I don't know, I guess I never really judged it on how good it was, but I definitely always wanted to share it with people. I mean, it's amazing writing a song and feeling like you created something, but it's entirely different when you can share that with somebody. And then on an even greater level, when you can collaborate with other musicians. And I remember for the song When Life Has Lost Its Way, which is on the album, we kind of just recorded a real basic structure to it one night after we had been recording all day, and then just left it. And then later on in the summer, Dan and Tim and Nick and Tyler got together, and I actually wasn't there, I don't think. And they added all these string parts to it that I'd never even heard. And hearing like just a simple little song that I wrote with pretty much what sounds like an orchestra to it is very humbling, and makes me extremely full of gratitude to be able to play with these guys.
Mm-hmm. I also want to say that I think that your voice is a really important component of the band. I think you just have a really lovely voice. And have you been singing for as long as you've been doing all of the other stuff too?
Yeah, I grew up going to church a lot, and that's probably where I first started being immersed in music and singing.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you take up the guitar?
I think like fourth or fifth grade. It was kind of something I had to do to do some of the music stuff I was doing at school. And my family already had a guitar from one of my siblings, so it was kind of like, oh, I don't have to buy another instrument, so here you go. And I took lessons for a few months and absolutely hated the lessons. And then once I stopped taking lessons, then I started really liking to play. And guitar is one of those instruments, it's a little bit easier to just be able to pick up from the get-go and just play chords. And I would go online and learn my favorite songs, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a musical household with a piano and a guitar lying around. Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of kids in your family?
Yeah, I have four siblings.
Okay.
And I have a twin brother, and we're the youngest. And yeah, pretty much all of us have been into music, but I think of the five of us, I was the most driven to do it.
And it sounds like your parents probably would be very supportive of you doing that, since they had the instruments around.
Yeah.
Well, that's always important, you know, when you're trying to pursue something.
Absolutely.
Get that family support or not. Although sometimes it can drive you in the other way. If they don't support you, then you want to do it even more.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, you guys did the album. Where did you record the album, Back to Life?
We recorded it in Oshkosh at Topsoil Studios, and that's run by Brian Kaler. And he's just kind of an independent engineer in Oshkosh, and it's kind of part with the Oshkosh music scene. It's the bands in that area that allow him to actually afford rent. I think he bought a house, and, you know, he helps us out, and he does really good work, and so that's who we recorded it with. We did it over the span of from last spring to about September, and then we wrapped it up, got it all printed, and got the box of 1,000 CDs 2 days before our CD release recital, which we held at the UW Oshkosh Music Hall. So we did a completely acoustic recital, and it was kind of nerve-wracking because we were used to playing in bars, and we do all sorts of events. It's interesting, like, where our band takes us and all the different events we play for and all the people you meet. But, yeah. What else?
We actually had to put a rush order on CDs because I think the mastering process took a little bit longer than we had expected. And then there was the hurricane out east, which is where Discmakers is located. So that hit New Jersey the same week we had to order it. So we were sweating a little bit, praying that we would actually have the CDs for our CD release. But yeah, we got them 2 days beforehand. Spent a little bit extra money to rush them.
What was the recording experience like? Did you kind of do things sort of in a live way, or did you do them differently? Or
yeah, for the most part, we did everything live. There was some tracking, not too much, but we just like, if you listen to the album, there's not like a straight tempo. We like having it feel live, and we actually recorded it all analog. I don't know if you said that. We did it on a two-track or an 8-track tape machine, and then it got and then it got mixed onto a 2-track, so all analog. So it's just, it has real warm feeling, and it's all natural. And that was a big plus to recording in Oshkosh with Brian.
Now, you mentioned that you play all sorts of different kinds of venues. I came across a page that talks about your booking, and I had to smile because I think there's a place where it says something about, we can play up to 6 hours of material. And
where
I thought, now somebody's going to ask you to do that. And
yeah.
I thought, really? I think it might be an older piece of information there.
Yeah.
But
At one time, we probably could have.
Yeah, and with the lineup changing and
mm-hmm.
whatnot.
You might not be as up for
it. It's a long time to play. Yeah,
well, that's what I thought when I saw that. And I thought, wow, these guys really like what they do.
Well, there have been times in the summer where we have three shows. We have a morning show and an afternoon show and then a night show. That happened four or five times last summer.
Yeah, and sometimes it's at a church picnic, and then the evening is at a strip club.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay, so tell me about what the different crowds are like for a church picnic. What's it like playing for a church
actually,
picnic?
Actually, surprisingly, in Oshkosh, it's not that different. The beer flows heavily, and...
Are the same people there?
The clothes are still
some
coming
of them,
off.
Yeah,
Well, this sounds like a fun town. Well, let's hear one more tune. What do you guys want to wrap up with here?
I think we're going to do a song that's actually written by, again, our absent mandolin player, and he usually sings the main part, but I'm going to give it my best shot here. It's called Dark Side of the Road. It's on our album.
Way back home through the silver cities, there's a golden sunrise all the time. Dance around the railroad tracks, hit the line, you won't come back, off into the pitch black night. Tomorrow the morning will be bright and new, till the storm's in the early afternoon. Traveling gypsy train, mandolin. National Traveling Tour. And it's 1-2 years I'll be gone. It's 3 more before I'm done. But it won't wait for
Dead Horses live from Studio A. Does that happen very often that you're not able to bring the whole band, but you make do? Or
I guess it depends.
I'd say over the past year, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it still works out. You sound just great.
Yeah.
So
I think we would all agree it's made us a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Well, and Pete, maybe I'm making this up, but I actually kind of hear you doing some mandolin-y stuff occasionally on the guitar. Is that fair to say?
Growing on me, playing. Uh-huh. Folk grass, as we call it. And yeah, I kind of just assimilated to the band a lot. And,
yeah, Pete's very, very versatile. Pretty much anything. Sometimes when we're just practicing, if we try something else, something different genre, he just jumps right in and can just do it already. It's quite amazing.
Great. He's actually pretty talented at the 6-string banjo as well.
Hmm. Do you ever break that out at shows?
Not yet, but he will very soon.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, guys. It was really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Those are Dead Horses from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Skylar Larson, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, with additional support provided by The Playlist, Thursday nights at 9 on PBS North on WDSE WRPT. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.